The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I asked this morning to define who they are. That's who they are. They are controlling our phones. Good morning, everyone. Interesting Friday morning, September the 17th. Another angry morning here on 710 KNUS. Welcome to the show. 75 will be the high today. It's going to be cooler. Motorcycle ride morning for everybody on the job. 92 tomorrow, 90 on Sunday. 710KNUS.com and my page, Peter Boyles. Episode 3 of The Shoot has dropped at 6 a.m., this time with Sean Duffy, MC1 Honor Run, September 26th. We'll talk more about that. I see. We're really having phone difficulties. Please say good morning. As I said, he's as close to a priest as I have in my... Billy. All right. My hands are... At no time do my fingers leave my hands. All right, we got a guest someplace? This is Stefan did this and left. That's what happened. You want me to read alive or want me to? Okay, Peter. I'm trying to do it right. Phones are all. Father, are you there?
I am with you.
There he is. Morning. Okay. Without further ado, and he hasn't been with us for a while, and I haven't talked about it on the air, but he went through a pretty bad bout with COVID. Father Andre, how are you feeling?
Thank God, Peter. I pray for all those who have been under attack by any disease, by God's grace. I thank you for your love, for your care, and all those who prayed for all of those patients. Thank God. Thank God.
I know people talk about being vaxxed. I know you did not get vaxxed because of other reasons. We were worried. I'm just being like the two of the people I love the most, you and Stefan, and we almost lost Stefan, and now you, who has been so important in my life. And How long were you sick, Father?
Well, I want to tell you, God is good, first of all. Yes, it was really dangerous. I got to a point where I thought definitely I lost control over my own body. And then things started turning around. Such a virus could attack the human body in my own experience. Between a few weeks in a hospital to probably 3 to 6 months recovery, if the recovery is not accompanied with permanent damage, a human being could suffer terribly if they have somehow unfortunate damage in their lungs, Peter. Oh. And that would be the problem, the complications that happen after that, and the life of that person.
What do you say now? I mean, I know that there are other issues, but... You know, I read Middle East press, English Middle East press, and they're not sure of body counts. They're not sure of the death tolls. They're not sure of how many people were sick. And there's parts of Middle East, obviously, or they're borderline the third world. I understand that the mullahs don't tell the truth about what's taking place in Iran. Do you have any thoughts about that, Father?
I do. In fact, research a little bit with my own doctors. You know, I have had the beautiful doctors next to me helping me. There is not enough testing for places in the Middle East. It's not always that they do not want to report. Lebanon has been on the up, for instance. Like COVID has been hitting, again, 1,300 cases a day, and people dying on weekly basis. Are in a 20 people die every week or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then when I had a talk with my doctors, they told me, Father, the boost that people now are to receive, you know, people who are being vaccinated in the West, in the U.S., this is where the global politics is happening. Anybody who decides, if those countries decide to give a booster to their own citizens, it means there is a person in a third world country is not going to get the COVID shot, is not going to get the COVID-19 vaccine altogether. So this is the equation. This is where the politics is happening now. the shot that people decide here to get as a third booster or a fourth booster comes at the expense of people who might have need for the vaccine if they choose to do that, not mandatory vaccine, of course, because I'm for the freedom of the human being that they decide on their own with their own doctors what is best for their own selves, as long as they are doing preventive measures not to attack others or not to expose others or expose themselves to danger with the COVID. So that's the situation now. And I really cried when I found out from my doctor that the tough choice that now the West has to do or are doing practically is that they chose to give a booster to their own people who have been vaccinated twice by giving them third and fourth booster shot. This means they're going to deny those shots to people in Africa, to people in other countries where they cannot afford. And that's where the problem becomes for the Middle East.
Father Andres here, when you read the world press, there are people in other parts of the world that are astounded by the people in this country that won't take the vaccine where all they want is the vaccine. They would do anything to get the vaccine, and they're astounded by people in this country that won't be vaxxed. It's interesting.
I did see that, actually, in the news from Lebanon, that people were running to make sure they got the vaccine. But at the same time, I would say they don't have the preventive medicine as much as we do, Peter. Over there, the vaccine seems the culture of salvation. Mm-hmm. Here, you do have the vaccine and you do have other preventive medicine. Other choices are available for people. When you have a better medical health, your choices could expand a little bit. It's not always subjective thing to, it's not abstinence from the vaccine. I think here people are still looking at the medical science becoming a political science somehow.
That's what's happening.
Or philosophy. That's what's happening. And there is confusion. I would say a disease control is needed. Medical treatment for the patients is needed. A clear protocol. What I suffered from, I wish there was a clear protocol from my primary doctor, from the hospital, actually, not the primary doctor, who would say, listen, if you suffer from the symptoms, here are the measures that you must do, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then the hospital will accompany you post-COVID and telling you, listen, here are the measures you need to do, including medicine, including care, including nutrition, including exercise, including tools and breathing things. They don't give you anything. I think the crisis is that everybody is understaffed and everybody is busy in talking about the COVID policies, the COVID politics, but nobody is really caring for the patient. We don't see documentation telling, hey, potential patient or patient who has done the COVID and now is recovered and developed great antibodies, here's what you can do for precaution in the future. Mm-hmm. And we need more medical care for the actual disease, rather, I guess, as much as we're spending energy talking about.
Yeah, but hospital beds are packed. I mean, Father Andres here, now it's become a political disease. It's run the railroad tracks of other politics and craziness, but like I said, people, if you read Middle East press or Third World press, Middle Asia press, all they want is the vaccine. Please get the vaccine to us. And I don't know. I'm like so many other things that just stump me. I see that as well. So you're finally back. The radio show goes Sunday morning. What's the show? Have you taped the show already, Father?
Yes. And, following up with the sin of America, which is the lack of love, the lack of true friendship, the betrayal, the suspicious and vicious nature of our military political system, not military system. I called it intentionally military political system, which is a military that is basically subjected to political decisions in the U.S. We go to Afghanistan, we leave them, we spoke about Afghanistan, geography, ethnicity, religion. We address the persecution, the religious persecution. We address why did the Russians occupy Afghanistan to begin with, and why Afghanistan declared itself in 1978 as a communist country, and then 1979, you know, Russia comes in, and then in the 80s, United States decide to go. And they leave, and then United States decide to come in, and for the same reason we decided to come in, which is basically to help building that nation and to fight fight against the groups who were supporting USSR at the time. You know,
the people that were supporting the Soviets were not the people that were fighting against the government in Kabul, and they were the allies of the United States of America. They were then the Mujahideen. Their children.
They were the Mujahideen.
Their children are the Taliban. Their sons are the Taliban.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Honestly, that's what I'm... Right. And isn't it that weird? Isn't that weird? So it's almost like we had to deal with the Taliban since the very beginning. That's why we went to that country.
They went after the Afghans because of the attack on 9/11 that was done by Arabs, not by Afghans.
Yeah, why do they call it the Middle East? Like, I always
wonder. Well, the British, we do colonial views. The British called it the Near East, and that was, that part of the world is Yugoslavia. Even further, it would be probably modern-day Yugoslavia or Czech Republic. That part of the world they called the Near East, dripping off into, and then the Middle East becomes, it's British colonial thinking. The Middle East is because that's what the British called it. And then they called it the Far East. That's what the British called it. That's China, Japan, modern-day Korea. So we're looking through the eyes of the British colonial. When you say the Far East, the Middle East, and the Near East, those are British colonial terms. People in Egypt, and we've been in Egypt together, they don't see themselves as Middle Eastern. They're Egyptian Arabs. We see the world through the eyes of the colonial, and it needs to stop because, well, having said that, that's why we say those words. And then the Hindu world, the Kush world, the Afghan world, the Pakistani world, the subcontinent India world, that's all defined by the British as well.
That's true. That's true. And you know, we're talking also about the necessity of helping people in Africa. Listen, the rise of Al-Qaeda and ISIS is a true fact, is happening, and the persecution against the Christians, again, is way, way high on the rise. Lebanon receives a more corrupt government that was elected, and today they're trying to pass it into the parliament, basically, to see if they were given the trust and confidence to start business or not. We are handing the world again to, I believe, not the democratic powers that we wish or we have wished to have given them. Something is happening still wrong. The rate of the refugees in Lebanon, the rate of children without families that we find in trash baskets, the absence of the milk, the absence of medicine, the absence of gas, of oil. We still are in a major, major, major problematic situation for populations. Add on top of this the COVID situation. Add on top of this that there is no money in the banking system. Nigeria, today in Eritrea, in Ethiopia, there is a new fight happening. It is weird. We are turning on the fire. We are turning on the fire around us. And the greatest sin in America, the lack of true love. We do not know how to love our friends.
Boy, that's a great message. Andre Mahana on 6 o'clock on Sunday mornings on a show that's doing really well. You're right, and I read a lot about Eritrea and Tigray and Ethiopia, and it's one of the first places where Christianity flourishes. And
absolutely,
I don't know. The Coptic Church. How old is the Coptic Church, Father?
The Coptic Church is as old as the trip of Joseph, Mary, and the baby Jesus to Egypt, basically in year one, right? In year 01.
I was telling people the story about you and I and Mike, and I had dinner with Mike and George when we were in that church that has the well where, according to the Bible stories, the family stops and drinks when they flee. And there's a well in this church, and it was that's part of the story and how we were treated in that church by the Muslim Brotherhood. And that's a true story.
Did we ever tell the story publicly, Peter? Did we really
no.
tell it?
I mean, I alluded to.
I don't think.
No, yeah. I alluded to having been in that church, and it's a shrine, and they've taken this real thick plexiglass. There is a well. I mean, you could tell the story probably better than I can because you understood. My basic understanding was, the story goes that Mary and Joseph and the baby drank from that well in the night flight.
Correct. That's the church where the entire church is built on the well, actually. And at one time in history, I do believe Salah ad-Din wanted to destroy completely this church or turn it into a mosque. Then they gave a challenge to the Christians. They told them, if you pray all night long and if your Lord can move a mountain, only if your Lord can move a mountain, we will spare this church. And the Coptic people gathered in front of the church, and there was this they prayed all night, and in the morning the hill was moved, and then this church was spared. But this is a place where Jesus, Mary, and Joseph stopped, and they drank from the well. It is inside Cairo, the capital, actually, of Egypt. That's the story. And in the 50s, I do believe, Our Lady appeared in that particular place as well, in that church, in the sky. Hundreds of thousands of people seen the apparition. My interest was that you and the team would see that church, would go to the well, basically. And then we noticed that how the people who were supposedly the security guards of the church, which are not Christians, basically, they're assigned from the Awqaf, from the Ministry of Muslim Property.
They're not police. It's important. No. They're not police. They're not police.
And they're not police. Mm-hmm. They said, no, you cannot enter. And I started feeling, and somehow that Middle Eastern blood telling them, hey, I see you're discriminating here. You're telling those people coming from the U.S.
We went in.
I think it left a bitter taste in them, and it exposed us a little bit to some security
issues. I've told people, if you know what a truncheon is it's not a billy club, it's a truncheon. And these guys were brotherhood characters, and they had truncheons, and suddenly this guy just cracked it as loud as he could, and I'm looking at you, and there was a mosaic there that was a really beautiful mosaic, and I remember, and we were looking at each other, and we're saying, well, I don't know. It was clear, I mean, you weren't wearing a collar, so they didn't know, I mean, but you looked Middle Eastern. I just used a British term. I look like some white guy, and George and Mike, and well, remember when we left and they threw stuff at us? Do you remember remember they threw rocks and they
absolutely
they did not want, and I'm not a for a person of belief, but George is, and I believe Michael is, and you certainly are. And just to look at that well to me was like, wow, this was antiquity. You know, this well had been there, and they plexiglassed the well over. And they knew we weren't. Yeah. They knew we weren't Egyptians. How's that? And I think you guys all we used to call them crucifixes when we were kids. But you hid your cross. That's a smart move. And I don't think we've ever told that story on the air before. But they came after us. And they really did.
They did. They did. I do remember. Yeah. See, those things are irreconcilable, and I do believe this is what's happening in Afghanistan today, Peter.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Unfortunately, it's happening against Muslim people themselves.
Yeah, sure.
Not only against the Christians who fled. Remember, the target is innocence. The target is innocence.
Always.
Anybody who's innocent,
it always is.
Anybody who's good, let's get them. Let's kill them. They are religious people, whether they are Christians, whether they are women or little children, little babies. I do recognize, like now in Afghanistan, women and children are being taken to sex and human trafficking, for instance. Christians are fleeing to Pakistan. United States government is not allowing Afghani refugee air flights to land in the United States. They're not allowed. And the
no,
same thing
not, no.
against Lebanon when the refugee crisis began. They didn't let any of the Iraqi refugees leave Lebanon.
No.
They blocked them there.
We were there. We were there. We met these people.
We were there. Mm. And the same thing in Egypt. You know, if you have a people they want to leave because of religious sensitivity or discrimination, they may not necessarily
let them. That was the thing. That was the thing that happened in Lebanon was that all those people flooded in. They were Iraqis who had been destroyed by George Bush, and they fled. And then they were Christians and. So after that comes who? Comes ISIS and comes...
It's
just a sad... You remember that pharmacist father? Father Andres here. I met, and I don't know where we were in that refugee place. And that guy was... He spoke perfect English, spoke better English than I do. He had gone to City College in New York, and he had a pharmacy in Baghdad. And he lost his family, and he had tears in his eyes, and he said to me, Saddam left me alone. He said, I had a pharmacy. He said, George Bush destroyed my pharmacy. George Bush ruined my life. And then the ISIS came, and his family lost his family, and he walked. And he got to Lebanon, and he couldn't work because the Lebanese went and recognized that he was a pharmacist, and he was a day laborer. And I always thought about that guy. I wonder whatever happened to that guy. And I was in tears, and we were in that camp, and those little kids, and that guy just... I listened to his story, and he said...
I did follow up with those cases. And, you know, we're still, through our program that we're doing in the Mission of Hope and Mercy.org, we're still doing Feed the Family, Save a Nation. Archbishop Kasarji met with the Pope, you know, on July 1st, when Pope Francis called the Christian religious leaders for a emergency meeting because Lebanon is falling, basically, including till today, even though there is a new government, and it's falling in the hands of the Persians. It's falling in the hands of an entity that is completely culturally not in line with the culture of Lebanon, whether the culture of pluralism, the culture of peace, the culture of coexistence, the culture of religious, I would say understanding that was developed historically between the Muslims and the Christians. So when Archbishop Kasarji went and he met with the Pope in the Vatican on July 1st, he was clear with him. And the Pope and Cardinal Sandri asked Archbishop Kasarji, how are your people doing in Lebanon? And Archbishop Kasarji told them, they cannot return to Iraq because honestly they will be targeted.
Of course, we know how.
No,
of course.
And they cannot travel because the West will not give them visas. They are still in Lebanon. So Cardinal Sandri asked Archbishop Kasarji, how are you surviving? Who's helping you? He said, Father Mahana and the group of the Mission of Hope and Mercy from the United States.
Yeah, no, I remember. I mean, all of that.
We need it. Like,
so it's so awful. And again, it's part of the world that. And then George Bush goes to Shanksville and makes that speech comparing. I mean, these guys get away with it. And because of people like you, I don't know. Father, 6 a.m. on Sunday morning. And I'm glad you're well. You mean a lot to me. I love you. And we'll talk over the weekend. Be safe, Father. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you. God bless you.
You too. All right. Bye-bye. Home prices rise and home equity levels. In fact, data shows the average U.S. homeowner saw the equity increase by $33,000 in the last year. Now, mortgage lenders, because you can drop your mortgage rate. No obligation, no upfront hidden fees. You can save up to $1,000 a month. Lock in a low rate now before they're gone. Pre-qualify in about 10 minutes on a phone call. Get it underway. American Financing, 303-695-7000, 303-695-7000. Apply online, AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate. Call American Financing 303-695-7000 online, AmericanFinancing.net. This is a smart, wise thing to do. I want to read this one. You have a platform. You speak your observations and facts. And then you have no problem if and when your ratings numbers drop. Actually, they haven't. Remember, terrestrial radio is still there, but your company's APP is promoting listening online. Most of us just use it as a standalone radio and we'll stop listening to your show. You know, that's one of the things I can't control. And like I said, if you think we can do radio shows and lie so you give it approval, I think there's like 38 or 43 other radio stations, AM and FMs, on the dial. Remember, terrestrial radio is still here. I don't know what this means. The guy's name, he signs it. He's kind enough to sign it. Call the radio show. We got some friends dropping by. It's Recovery Month. And then Lone Star Speaks. I love this. This will be your second or third appearance. Untold Stories of JFK. 75 and cooler. Stand by 710 KNUS. Billy picks my theme song. Marshall Tucker Band. They used to do a radio show with us, and love this. It'd be the first time. Leave this old guy. Peter Boyle's theme song. Ain't going to be the first time this old cowboy spends a night alone. Room full of alcoholics. It's a Friday morning, September the 17th, 2021, 28 minutes after the hour, 7:28. It is, Billy, want to light the guys up? I've gotten to know some of these guys, and we're going by first names only, James, Travis, and Scott. And this is Recovery Month. It's good to see a couple of you. So these guys are going to be at the east side of the Capitol tomorrow at noon, and they make me feel good on this morning. It's been kind of an interesting morning. James, how long have you been sober?
For me, my recovery journey started in 2012. Right. Complete abstinence is 5 years now.
And Travis, we're going to get to the mic. You're a Wyoming kid. How long have you been sober?
I've been sober for 5 years in November.
What was your drug of choice?
IV use meth and heroin.
We'll talk about heroin. Yeah. Scott and I go back a long, long way. How long have you been sober now? Moving close.
Going into 3 years now. Yeah. Yes.
And we were talking. Alkies do this. What was your first drink? God. what was it?
First drink were Little King 7-Ounce. Yep. 13.
Trav, what was yours? What was your first use?
Marijuana and Seagram 7.
How old were you?
13 years old.
I was 13. How old? You're a late bloomer. You don't count.
Yeah, you know, like I said, my addiction really wasn't triggered until after a spinal cord injury when I was 30. You know, before that, I was able to drink, as they say, responsibly and moderate, you know what I mean? So
that's right.
It hit me later than most, but when it hit, it hit.
I only blacked out once in a while. I was responsible. what does tomorrow mean for you guys? And say your first names when you speak so people know.
Yeah, you know, this is James, you know, and because of my recovery, I get to be the director of programs at Advocates for Recovery Colorado. And in 2012, I met Tanya Wheeler, the director, was recently on here. And
I know her.
She helped shape my recovery. You know, she helped me find a pathway to sustain an amazing life, you know. And this is actually our 20th annual Rally for Recovery and National Recovery Month. So, you know, the day of it, you know, it's with Civic Center Park closing, we had to adjust very quickly. But like,
and that's closed because of alcoholism and drug addiction.
Exactly. And we said this is exactly where we should be, but they still closed it. But, you know, we have the opportunity to change locations to the state capitol, which is also powerful as well on the east side. So,
this is wonderful. Travis, how'd you end up doing junk? I mean, how did you end up doing heroin? And let me pull the mic to you.
I was a cattle hauler for 15 years, and so I would use meth to go up and heroin to come down. And I've been real fortunate to be able to find my recovery and to be part of Advocates for Recovery Colorado.
Did you inject meth, or did you smoke, or did you eat it?
I was an IV user.
You're lucky.
I am.
You know how lucky you are.
I am.
I mean, you really are lucky. Did you ever get sick from it? Ever get ill?
I mean, the whole thing was an illness. I had to use every day just to be able to sustain life, you know. So it's amazing to be clean now.
Explain that to people, because I've sat in rooms full of people for all these years, and I've had people talk to me, and the civilians, the straights, I don't know if they don't get it.
Right.
And who said right? Somebody said right.
I did, Scott.
Talk to that, Scott.
Boy, would you repeat that, please?
Yeah, I mean, a lot the straights, I could call them, they don't get what was going on with you.
Oh, yeah. So much of the time, straights, I mean, to this point now when I'm not doing anything, they don't understand even being able to order a drink around me.
Yeah,
when
you can have one.
Yeah. you can have one. I really don't care.
No.
I'm just not doing it because I know what road that takes me on. But straights are a totally different ballgame. Straights meaning people that are completely functionally can go with one drink and then just be okay.
I never understood them. I never understood them. Like, my ex-wife's a wonderful woman, and we could go to dinner, and she could have a drink before dinner and a glass of wine, maybe even two glasses of wine with dinner, and stop. How'd you do that?
Well, Pete, you don't have no stop valve.
I don't have an off. You either got an off switch or an on switch. You don't got an in-between. You know, you don't turn the gas line on halfway. And that's the part of this. James, what was your bottom? Where was they? People talk about a moment of clarity. What was yours?
It was waking up in an intensive care unit after basically being in a coma, after a return to use, and lost everything. You know, the bottom for me was, you know, seeing my daughter. You know, I lost my spouse to cancer. That really triggered my addiction and left my daughter at 10 years old kind of by herself. You know, and that led to a bottom of, you know, my family saying, we love you, but don't ever contact us again. And they meant it finally.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so losing all that and just the internal piece of me.
Which hospital were you in, if you mind?
For me, yeah. Lutheran.
And you came out of a coma.
Yeah, after an overdose. Yeah.
Trav, what was the moment? I mean, pull the mic again if you would, where, you know, people talk about it.
November 18th, 2016, I drove my cattle truck through a empty building on Main Street
That'll
in Sterling,
it.
Colorado at 82 miles an hour.
Now, why do we laugh at that? But we know it's true.
That wasn't necessarily my turning point. I mean, it was what got me to where I am. But, you know, it was through treatment, incarceration, you know, outpatient treatment, all the things that I had to do through the judicial system was to where I really found my calling into what I'm doing now.
You're an incredible story because of everybody in the room. You know, there's a great line about sobriety. Everybody tells the same story, but they just tell it a different way. And that's a good one.
Thank you.
Tell that story. No, I'm proud of you. Tell that story again. You drove a cattle truck.
I drove a cattle truck. Luckily, I was empty. There was no cows hurt in the process.
No animals were injured.
Right. Yeah. And luckily, I didn't hit anybody either, but I did drive my semi through a building on Main Street at 82 miles an hour.
What time of day?
It was 8:30 at night on a Friday night.
Take a bow. I mean, that's a good one. I kind of collect them, you know, like people tell me last drink stories and last time I used, and they generally end up with my story. There's a very important person in my life who took me into his office and kind of had me by the shoulders and said, there's only three places guys like me and you end up, and I'm looking at him. And he said, we end up in an institution, prison or hospital. We end up on a morgue slab. We end up sober. And I said, I know there's a fourth way. And a month later,
there is. It's called recovery.
Yeah, and that was what he said, ending up sober, going into recovery. And I always thought there'd be a fourth way I could go out and find it. And your guys are all grinning. And I was back in his office, I don't know, 30 days later after some real bad stuff. And I said, okay, I give. You know, what do we do? I'll tell you a really interesting thing about how whacked is I have a dear friend who I thought was with me when I went, and she really wasn't there in the car. But I thought she was. So, no, I mean, you guys know the drill. Scott, what was your moment when you said, okay, I better not do this anymore?
Man, I tell you what, there have been a lot of moments, but
great line. Been a lot of minutes.
Go figure.
Yeah.
But, really the last one was having a suitcase, my stuff, and in a 10-cent hotel, motel. Yeah. And not having any help because I lost everyone, and just that moment of knowing abandonment and loneliness.
Oh, there's nothing like it.
And just having nothing.
Yeah.
And you know, a 10-cent motel compared to what I know. It's like, what the heck have I done?
What am I doing?
I have kind of a high IQ, maybe.
I'm one of the people that helped me, and I said that was the day, you know, the music died, as I always call it. You know, I had to change. And they said, no, you didn't have to change. And I kind of looked at them. I said, well, you could have doubled your dope or doubled your drinking, or, but you, and so could have all three of you. I mean, you didn't have to stop.
Right.
But there's this moment that I really am, I listen to people like you guys talk, because I think there's some answers there. What was it that the light went on and said, hey, man, because, you know, I was in trouble all the time, but it wasn't enough to say, you better quit. And then that time comes and it says, and it has a lot to do with exactly what you're talking about, that sense of, what have I done?
Yes.
And then it happens. But, James, you could have kept rolling.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know if it's a moment of clarity. It's a choice. It's a forced choice,
because
sometimes
it's
choiced. You know, for me, it was, I finally lost everything in my life except my daughter.
Yeah.
And me always saying, well, I'm going to do it for my daughter.
Yeah.
I realized
wrong
that
person.
I realized, like, yeah, no, I want to find me again. I want to reinvent who I am.
Bingo.
I have an opportunity,
yep,
at the age of, you know, 32 to reinvent who I am after, you know, the life I've led, you know. And it, I think my perspective changed.
That's,
instead of seeing,
Jim,
me
I'm
for the past.
I want to do a book like, yeah, this, or a video or, yeah, something. And what was that moment of, people call it the moment of clarity. Some people, yeah, call it the bottom, you know, the wake up, like you said, waking up in a motel. Well, Trav, what for you? What was the moment you said, okay, that'll do it?
It was actually a little old cowboy named Gene that was in one of my classes. And he kept me after class. And he said, hey, why are you so mad? And,
yeah,
I told him, well, I just want to go get high. Yeah. You know, and then he said, no, it's not what I'm asking. He said, what's going,
yeah,
on? And so then I kind of explained it to him, and he said, give me a week, I'll help you.
Yeah.
And it was with him not knowing me to lend out that helping hand was what really made me decide that I needed to look at things a little bit different.
Wow. Scotty, you kind of alluded, but...
Oh, man. You know, I have many different things that I remember. First thing I have is Christ in my life, in my heart. So that I have that. And then, you know, one of my great memories in my lowest is the first time I met you over the phone.
You remember that?
Yeah, Pete. Oh, man.
I got handed a phone. I can't. We're not giving anybody up.
I think I got cussed out by you for about 20 minutes straight.
So you do remember that?
Oh, gee. Yeah, yeah, of course. And you know what? I loved you for that.
We share a friend.
You said it,
yeah,
straight.
We share a friend. Well, that was the Bob Cote approach.
That, you got it.
And that approach was done to me by this important person in my life who said, look, you know, everybody's kind of you because you do this radio show. And I was going to say, and he had me by the shoulders. And he said, mm-hmm, look at me. And he said, I'm telling you. And I shook him off, you know. But,
well, I tell you what, you over the phone had me by the shoulders, and that's for sure.
I am so, of all, because you're the one I'm closest to, and I'm so proud of you. I've seen you develop. Travis, I think the world of you, man. I mean, you got a big raw bone kid.
Thank you.
That truck story is a beauty. I'm going to tell somebody that story. That's a, because, you know, guys, you know, like, guys will tell you stories. You go, yeah, go to the meetings at, you know, I always said to go to, when Bob was alive, and to go to step 13, I'd walk out of those meetings shaking my head. Like, and that was some really, really hardcore stuff, you know. And there's a really important person that, no names, but because we were all doing first drink. And this man is this very significant man, if I said his name, is very wealthy character. So we meet in a meeting, and he said, you're that guy. And I said, well, you're that guy. And we went and had lunch. We're doing first drinks. And that, because, you know, my first drink, I was 13. And I said, where was your first drink? He said, on the Vanderbilt yacht in the Mediterranean.
Oh!
I said, you win. You win, hands down. You know, some chateau, whatever, fill in the blank, wine. And I'm drinking, like, I mean, they stole a bottle of black and white scotch from this girl's dad.
Yeah.
Black and, remember the Scotty
the
Dogs?
Basement,
on,
yeah.
Oh, and mixed it with Pepsi-Cola. And I said, true story, black and white and Pepsi. People are looking at me like,
what the hell?
There's a drink, right? They all that black and white and Pepsi, you know, like, but that was first drink. I loved Little Kings. That's beauty. What was yours again? What did you do?
Mine was Jack Daniels, Pabst Blue Ribbon.
If you
was
please.
Definitely my go-tos, yeah. Yeah.
Jack Daniels, if you please. Uh-huh. It's good to see you guys. All going to be there tomorrow. Again, James, plug it one more time where it's going to be.
Yeah, September 18th, Saturday, will be the 20th annual Advocates for Recovery Colorado Rally for Recovery. We, it'll be at the State Capitol building on the east side of the building from 12 until 4 o'clock. We got speakers, we got awards, we got prizes to give out. We have an amazing couple artists. We have the Raymer and Gentry duo from Shreveport, Louisiana. We also have the amazing artist from Pittsburgh, Kalichi,
yeah.
If anybody's ever heard
yeah,
of him.
Sure.
Yeah. He'll be there performing and a lot of resources, community resources.
I'm proud of all three of you, man. It makes me, on a morning like this morning, to have you guys in here means a lot. So.
And we can't thank you enough, Pete.
Quit it.
Thank you.
Quit it. No, no, no.
Thank you.
No,
full
no, no.
gratitude.
No, it's like.
And we appreciate you.
Well, it's like, it's us. And there should be
right
more
on.
Of us, but, you know, what the hey. Trav, you're the man. I'm going to, I know somebody I'm calling up.
Thank you.
Like, remember them stories you guys told?
Yep.
This guy. You did the. I had a friend who got hit with lightning. It stopped. He's got hit with lightning. I said, "Well, there." And he said, "I thought God was talking to me, Peter." I love all you guys. All right, Friday morning, everyone. We got the market report coming up, and then a remarkable book about Kennedy and Texas and the truth out of Texas. 710 KNUS. All right. 10 before the hour, 710 KNUS. Bring Amy up. Amy Duncan from Alpine Planning. Weekend is here. Amy, good morning. And what do we got?
Morning, Pete. Bill goes, so if we bring you on and you don't have Pete, I can't guarantee what's going to happen. And I thought that's kind of a microcosm of how our day is, what we do for a living, right?
That,
can't guarantee
that,
what's going to happen.
That's really true.
All righty, sir. Well, happy Friday to you. Great show going. I love the interview with the guys from the prior segment. Red numbers to start the day, but nothing too substantial. The Dow's off 78, S&P's off 18, NASDAQ down 60 to close out the week. So I love movie quotes, Pete. And we were on a phone call yesterday, and someone dropped the, you can only get there if you've been there before.
It's true.
Line. And first of all, I can't remember which movie it came from, which really embarrasses me. I think it might be Pirates of the Caribbean, but the analogy here as we head into the weekend is pretty simple. Again, you can only get there if you've been there before. Brian and Gabe and I aren't retired. Some days we wish we were, but the idea is as you approach or head into retirement, you really got to have a leader and someone that's done it before, someone that's been there before. We've navigated different markets. We understand different risks that, you know, the average consumer might not consider. And, you know, all good financial advisors have taken people through the retirement jungle, so to speak. So if you've got some questions, you're trying to speed up that retirement date or make sure that maybe you're not going to run out of money, just questions about market volatility, please give us a call and we'll see if we can help.
303-843-0918. Amy's there. 303-843-0918. They have my trust. They will earn yours as well. Give them a call. Have a good week. Have a great weekend, Amy. Thank you very much.
You too, Pete.
Thank Securities you. And investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
Lone Star Speaks coming up. Hot summer nights turn into cooler evenings. Perfect time for entertaining. Perfect time to update your lighting inside and out. Urban Lights, dinners and gatherings extend long into the night. Perfect time. I mean, this guy, Dave Nestor, has become a great friend, and the place is great. Urban Lights, stunning 20,000-square-foot showroom. There's no shortage of inspiration. Walk through these themed lighting galleries, the rustic modern, the French chateau, city loft. I talk about, you know, my grandson went with me. We've got some new lighting for the house. He just loves it. The place is like, it's a show. Drop in their showroom today, aptly owned, or over the weekend, schedule a free design appointment. Get 40% off all lighting this weekend. You'll love to know Urban Lights is locally owned and there 7 days a week. Find them south of I-25 on Santa Fe between Florida and Mississippi or UrbanLightsDenver.com, 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 and tell them I sent you, and they'll knock another 10% off. We came across this book, and I love this stuff, so read it, Lone Star Speaks, The Untold Texas Stories About the JFK Assassination. So the first time we put her on, and she planted it. And so coming back on the other side, and she calls herself K.W. Zachary, but she is terrific. And the beat goes on, 710 KNUS, Denver's Talk Station. What a morning already. Wait for the music. It's a Friday, 75. Going to meet everybody right after the radio show, get on the motorcycles, and go north. So there's that. Weekend reporting begins. Episode 3 of the shoot with Sean Duffy dropped at 6 o'clock. Thank you to Mark Crowley. Our website, 710KNUS/Peter Boyles. MC1 Honor Run on the 26th. We'll talk more. Hang on. We come back. Lone Star speaks.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.